We begin by discussing Suratul Yasin, which is the heart of the noble Quran. There are numerous benefits that have been recorded with regards to Surah Yasin. It is known as Ad-Dafi'a also. Tadfa'u an sahibiha kull su'in, because it repels all evil from the person who reads it. There are many other benefits. It's also known as Qadhiya, because it fulfills the needs and necessities of every person that reads Surah Yasin. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Innahu qala Yasin, that it is called Yasin because it brings and attracts to the person who reads it the best of both worlds. And let me begin by sharing with you a short anecdote about my own experience. As we know that when you read Surah Yasin at the time of any difficulty, it's mentioned in the hadith that it becomes a means of bringing ease to the person when you read Surah Yasin at the time of any difficulty. When I was performing Hajj, and we had traveled up until Arafat. And one of the most tricky parts of Hajj is to travel from Arafat to Muzdalifah. Because up until Arafat, there are many who don't go to Mina. They simply pass through Mina. Then into Arafat, people come at different times. Some spend the night before already in Arafat. And then everybody converges in Arafat, the place of gathering. They spend the time from Zawal onwards in Arafat, right through till Maghrib time. And with the onset of the sunset, people are now to move to Muzdalifah. And it's one of the most delicate parts of the journey of Hajj, simply because you have now this entire 2 to 3 billion people moving in one direction, moving from a restrained and constricted space to another restrained and constricted space in a limited amount of time, all wanting to move at the same time, everyone trying to get there as quick as possible. So it is a recipe for disaster in the sense that you can have lots, many things that could go wrong. And I remember traveling for Hajj, and we left Arafat and we were to get to Muzdalifah. And within a short while, we were able to actually get to Muzdalifah. But then for some reason, the bus driver wanted to park in a place where the passengers could be close to the bus. Because once you get off that bus, then there's no way of getting back onto the bus if they drop you in a particular place. So he kept moving around in Muzdalifah, searching for a place that would be suitable, that would bring about a conducive environment where the passengers could then, after Subah Sadiq and before sunrise, when we would leave for the 10th day or the 3rd day of Hajj, we could just get into the bus again. So he kept looking for such a suitable place. And as he continued moving Muzdalifah, eventually he got kicked out. He had to leave Muzdalifah. Now you can imagine with a huge influx, and now that you're out, you're trying to get back into Muzdalifah. So he goes right around and he takes some journey. And eventually he's now out of Muzdalifah and close to the Mall of Makkah, which I believe is in Aziziyah. And while he's there, there's a block on the road. There's an entire block on the road, and nobody is able to move at all. And everyone's tired because of Arafat. Everyone's exhausted. Everyone's fatigued. Arafat was that opportunity to cry your heart out, to make dua for your sins to be forgiven, and to shed your burdens before Allah. So everyone's fatigued and nobody is really concerned about what's happening. People are dozing, waking up, dozing, and eventually we realize that, you know what, 3 or 4 hours have gone by, and we're now coming towards 2 o'clock, and yet we're not moving. We're blocked outside the Mall of Makkah. And now the concern is that if we don't get to Muzdalifah to make the wukuf, then your Hajj will be done, but everyone will have to slaughter a an animal, a dam, a sheep or goat, because of not fulfilling a basic rite of Hajj, and that is the Mabit, passing the night in Muzdalifah up until the time of Subah Sadiq and a few moments beyond that. So people are now starting to panic, and it was at that time that an alim on the bus had suggested that, look, we are here, we are stuck, we're facing a predicament. Let's read Surah Yasin collectively. And everyone on the bus started reading Surah Yasin, the alim leading the way, and everyone else reading Surah Yasin. And reading it with that fervor that, Ya Allah, it is only with your help and assistance that this difficulty that has come upon us, where we're blocked on the road, be alleviated. And there's no way, the bus driver knows nothing, the travel agent knows nothing. We can't say whether we'll get to Muzdalifah or not. So everybody read Surah Yasin with great fervor, with great enthusiasm, with great dedication, ikhlas, and sincerity. And subhanAllah, as we came to the close of Surah Yasin, it was amazing that the roadblock had been lifted and we started moving. And within a half an hour from that point, we were in Muzdalifah. We were able to make our Maghrib and Isha, go to toilet, make our Maghrib and Isha, and then we were able to then sit down for a few minutes of Ibadah, and then the time of Surah Sadiq had come in, made our Fajr, and then we were able to then get back into the bus and continue to Azizia, where they dropped us off, to then make our way for the Palting of the Jamarat. For some people, it may have been a coincidence that, the situation was such that, you know, it was anyway going to happen, that the block had come to an end, the blockade on the road. But on the other end, if you had to look at it, that it was after we recited Surah Yasin that, in fact, the road had opened. And that, for me, was a living miracle of a manifestation of the power of Surah Yasin. Where the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that when it is recited at a time of any difficulty, the difficulty will be alleviated. The difficulty will be removed. And I've seen it for myself. And that is the reason why I make it a habit of reading Surah Yasin every morning, because I know what benefit it brings. We know that that person who reads Surah Yasin every morning is definitely in the protection of Allah Rabbul Izzah. And the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that it shouldn't be such that you attempt to violate the sanctity and to violate the protection that Allah Rabbul Izzah has granted. Surah Yasin is located in the 22nd and 23rd juz of the Noble Quran. Surah Yasin is the 37th surah of the Noble Quran. There is a link between the surah before it, which is Surah Saba, and the surah after it, which is Surah Safat. In terms of Surah Saba, the surah before it warns those people who believe that you need to have complete conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those who disbelieve, their deities and gods will not assist them against the decree of Allah. Now they will suffer the plight of the people of Saba. Surah Safat, which comes after Surah Yasin, explains that the Safat, those angels who stand in rows before Allah and also make the announcements that none is worthy of worship except Allah. When we look at Surah Yasin, after Surah Yasin, Surah Safat is also linked to Surah Saba, while it's also linked to Surah Yasin by the way of negating intercession that can alter Allah's decree. Surah Yasin emphasizes that our expectation of salvation should be only in Allah. And the mushrikeen pinned their hopes in their gods, and those hopes have been scattered, shattered, and will be totally torn apart when Allah's punishment will seize them. Their gods will be totally helpless against Allah. When we look at a summary of Surah Yasin, in the first verses of Surah Yasin, inform us about the particular story that has taken place. And there is a story, in fact, the first 11 verses of Surah, Allah explains that the Quran verifies the truthfulness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because Allah has sealed the hearts of many people who refuse to accept the truth. They cannot accept the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the messenger of Allah. And the primary assertion of the surah appears in the verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, why should I take others as aliyah besides Allah? If Ar-Rahman intends any harm to reach me, the intercession will not help me in any way. The intercession of anyone else other than Allah will not help in the least bit. أَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِيَةً إِن يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَانُ بِذُرِّ لَا تُغْنِ عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ. The surah contains five arguments to prove the central themes, and we will go through those five arguments as we look at the various verses. In the end, the surah concludes by stating the essence that Allah is pure. Pure is that being in whose hands lies the reins, the control of everything, and to whom we shall all return after death. And that is the essence of it all. We need to understand that it is to Allah that we will return eventually when we leave this world. So that's an overview, some introductory aspects with regards to Surah Yasin. And inshallah, tomorrow we hope to begin the Surah proper, inshallah.